chapter 3. I want to preach today on the subject of the baptism of Jesus Christ. The baptism of Jesus Christ. This has been a sore subject with a lot of churches and people down through the centuries. And what was it about? Why did he get baptized? All this kind of thing. And it's a question that needs to be answered. Because Satan has used this issue to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ and to get people messed up. And I'm going to preach on it. By the way, this first time, as far as preaching specifically on this subject, this first time I've ever preached it in 39 years. Just on the baptism of Jesus. I've preached kind of round about it, mentioned it, brought it into messages before, but never just specifically on that. So that's what we're doing today. And I hope that you'll listen carefully, but more than anything, I hope you listen to the Holy Spirit of God today while the preaching is going on. And I mean that. And I want to also say, I've just been finding out, I've got several grandchildren. This is a big day in my life. I've got several grandchildren going to be baptized today. And this is an exciting day. And I tell you what, I was up here a while ago, and I'm the most blessed granddad there ever was in the world. A bunch of them gathered around me up here after singing for prayer. One of my grandsons led in prayer. They all had their arms on each other's shoulders, hugging each other and praying together. Got done talking to me, Grandpa, I'm going to get baptized today. Grandpa, I'm going to get baptized today. Another one run up to me, Grandpa, I'm going to get baptized today. And you know, and I'll say straight from the pulpit, you don't get baptized till you're saved. Amen. And but boy, I've been thankful for those. Last night, I guess it was when Zachary, your youngest son, got saved. I want to tell you something that I wouldn't trade the world for, and that is seeing young people get saved in their homes. When you can get children, I don't care whether they're 5 or whatever age it may be, when they come to realize of their sin and they need a Savior, or whether they're 15 or 18 years old, when they can go to their mom and dad in their home, and there's that kind of atmosphere in that home and family, they can go to mom and dad and say, listen, I want to talk to you about my soul. I think I need to be saved. And their mom and dad can sit down with them and take a Bible. Then you got something going on. Amen. And I tell you, I wouldn't trade that for all the fancy church services in this world. I want homes where our children can talk to mom and dads about their souls. And the mom and dads can talk to them. And I tell you, it's a blessing. And my heart is just pouring out with gratitude to God today for what he's done. Anyway, John chapter 3, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray today that you'd help me to preach. I couldn't save myself, didn't save myself, didn't even convict myself. I can't walk, can't do nothing. Lord, you said without me, you can do nothing. And sure, for sure, Lord, a man can't preach without the Holy Spirit of God's help. So I'm asking for your help today again, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you help us to preach straight, preach truthful. I pray you help me to preach the truth in love. I pray you help my attitude to be right, my spirit to be right. And I pray, God, that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross and that I would decrease and Christ would increase. And God, that they'd see Jesus today. Lord, I remember when them men walked up and they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. God, help folks to see Christ today. I pray that he'll be magnified and glorified and exalted in this worship service today. And I pray, God, that you rebuke the devil and all of his lying. And I pray, Lord, today that the gospel will be made clear and plain and simple where a child can understand it. And I pray, Heavenly Father, a good, sweet spirit and folks will know the love of God through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And I pray, God, help us to damage the kingdom of the devil. And help us, Lord, to do something that will glorify your holy name. And again, Lord, I pray for your help. I pray, God, today that folks will not harden their hearts, that they'll not procrastinate and put things off. But even right now, Lord, today, folks will be saved. God, I pray on the broadcast right now, folks, wherever they may be, I don't know, Lord. But I pray like, folks will call upon the Lord Jesus and believe and trust in his death, burial, and resurrection day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Everybody at Matthew chapter 3, say amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you, that's kind of weak, wasn't it? I'm telling you right now, you need to have your Bible in your lap and Jesus in your heart. Amen? Amen. I tell you, if you got Jesus in your heart and the Bible in your lap, you're in good shape. You're in good shape. Amen. In those days came John the Baptist tiptoeing through the wilderness. Oh, I tell you what, if I ain't careful, I have a mean streak running up my back today. He's a preacher. Amen. You know why people don't like preaching? Because preaching in the Bible carries with it the authority of God, and you got to do something with it. Reject it or accept it. Most folks in America like a little pink lemonade teaching. You know, I can kind of take that if I want it and don't agree with that. I don't say about authoritative preachers. The Bible says Jesus spake with authority and not as the scribes. The scribes is always giving people out ways and route out. But you preach the Bible, it's to preach with authority. And he said he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. I just want to say this. It didn't say he came out of the seminary.
Amen.
He came out of the wilderness.
Right.
Being alone with God and the Word of God. And he came out with the power of God. This man was a priest's son. If you study his life, his daddy was a priest down at the temple. He knew all the religious world. You know what he had to do to get a hold of God? Was get away from that religious world and get a hold of God.
Amen.
Well, he said there in verse 2, and it tells you what he's preaching. He said, "And repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness." And here's what he preached, repentance, and he preached, "Prepare you the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And this, by the way, there's a reason that the queers call us straight. Because they're crooked.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Their soul is crooked.
Yeah.
Perverted, twisted. They got us named right. We're straight.
Amen.
And when the Holy Ghost and the Word of God comes, it'll make you straight. I just thought I'd throw that in for free. Amen. I'm sick of this junk.
Amen.
Abomination.
Right.
The same, I will tell you right now, when God gets on the scene, he'll make straight paths. Straighten up your life.
Amen.
Straighten you up. Amen. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a suit and a tie on. Some of you ain't reading your Bibles. You wouldn't know the difference. You think I was reading out of some modern perversion? You wouldn't know. I'll get you a Bible, amen, a King James Bible. That's the only Bible, amen. And a leathern girdle about his loins. That means he had a belt on, amen. He didn't have a pair of women. I don't know why I'm on this. I'm on a rabbit trail. He didn't have a pair of woman's slacks on. Had a belt, amen. And that belt speaks of girding up yourself with loins of truth. Well, anyway, here he is. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. And when they went out to him, Jerusalem, and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan. Now watch what they, when they got baptized, what they did. Confessing their sins. Well, I'll tell you what now, folks, they won't get baptized, no one won't confess nothing. They're going to be baptized. I want you to see this scene. Oh, John the Baptist, he's down there in the Jordan River. I tell you what, Danny's not here today, but I ain't going to go that rabbit trail. Danny, I want to talk to you when you get time. He's talking about old Matthew Henry didn't believe nothing. I tell you what, you ought to read what he says about this. He says that Jesus didn't really go down in the water. He said he stood at the brink, and John the Baptist got a cup of water sprinkled on him. That's the stupidest lie. You know what he did? And he changed the Bible. Said the Bible ain't right. Said they didn't translate it right there. Bunch of, you know why he did that? Because he believes in baptism and regeneration, so he had to change the Bible to get there.
Yep.
Anyway, I don't know, man. I got to keep trucking. And so anyway, let's just keep trucking. And he said they're confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, now how'd you like to go to church and get this? Now here's old John the Baptist. He's standing down there in the Jordan River, about waist deep in water, and folks are coming out there, and they're saying they want to be baptized, and his baptism is a baptism of repentance, okay? Now that's his baptism, and they were to repent of their sin, and they were to confess their sins. Now can you imagine this? They're standing down in the water, and man, they're confessing their sins, or he ain't going to baptize them. Here comes the scribes and the Pharisees. Now the reason they came, because they have big crowds coming to John's baptism, he was stirring up the religious waters a little bit, and it got to be the fashion. Here's what religion can get to be the fashionable thing. And these guys walk up, these scribes and Pharisees, and they walk up the riverbank and, "Hey, John, how you, Brother John? You got a platform we can sit on somewhere, John?" And he said, "John, everybody's getting baptized to you, and it's kind of the popular thing going." Said, "Well, we want to get baptized too." Now I want to ask you how you'd like to go to John's church service and get talked to like this. John Baptist would be thrown out of every church in America. There's not a church I know of in America would have him. Listen what he told them when they came to church. And he said unto them, "Oh, ye generation of vipers."
Yeah.
Woo! I went up for Liberty Faith Church and he just preached at me. You poor little snowflake. If John the Baptist was your pastor, he'd have your hide hung up on the... He'd just have hide strung up down here. Can you, do you understand what your Bible's saying? These people came to his baptism service, wanted to be baptized. He said, you're a bunch of serpents and vipers and snakes. You're full of poison. And they were. The reason he called them vipers, vipers have a lot of poison in them. And everybody those people hit, they poisoned about the gospel. That's why that's why Jesus called them vipers. They poisoned people and ruined them spiritually. He said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, you want to be baptized? You bring forth some fruits meet for repentance. Now, I want to tell you something I believe in. I believe in repentance. By the way, Sid and Claire, congratulations to you. I'm so happy for you. You got your hat on. Remember that song? Keep your hat on. Good to see you guys. I'm glad for you. This couple will get married here in a week or two. He's getting baptized today. They're getting married. He's got a wild year riding. Amen. I mean, keep your hat on. Amen. This Saturday.
You got to be here.
This Saturday?
Yeah.
I'm going to be down at the beach. I'm lying. I'm not going to be at the beach. I'll be here. If Karen reminds me, I'll be here. Okay. He said, you bring forth meats for repentance and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father, or say, for I say to you that God is able these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Now the axe is laid. The reason I'm doing all this, I want you to get the setting, what was going on at the church service where Jesus was baptized. I want you to get this. Because if you don't get the pretext, you never get the context. All right? I mean, this is a rough service. Can you put yourself in the position of a scribe and a Pharisee? You came to church. You're trying to be nice. You're trying to support John the Baptist's ministry. You even want to get baptized by John. And he looks up at you out of the water and says, you're a viper. I ain't never going back to that church. Pretty wild church service. Different, right? Okay, setting. This is the setting. All right, here you go. He says, now verse 10. Now the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit hewn down, cast in the fire. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. Now this is the baptism of John the Baptist, was a baptism, water baptism of repentance. Okay. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Whose shoes, I'm talking about Jesus now. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, that was the church service. Now your Bible says in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of John. Watch this. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, he allowed Jesus to be, he allowed himself to baptize Jesus. Watch verse 16. And when Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. That tells you everything you need to know about the mode of baptism. We'll look at this later. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. By the way, the triune Godhead's right there. You've got the Son being baptized, the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of dove, and the God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Three. Stay away from your oneness stuff. Okay? Trinity's right there. Now, that's the baptism of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 3 also has it, but I'm not going to go there this morning. It actually goes, if John the Baptist there goes into the fruit of repentance, what they were to do. I just want to kick off on this, say, first of all, you need to understand Jesus Christ is 100% man and 100% God. You say, you don't understand that? I don't either, but he is. When you're looking at Jesus Christ's baptism, you're looking primarily at his humanism, that he's man. When he was man when he slept on the boat, but he was God when he stilled the waters. Amen. He was man whenever he ate, but he was God when he walked on the waters. He was man when he was tired and sitting down at the well, but he was God when he healed the sick. You constantly see through the Gospels his deity and his humanity. And he's God in the flesh, okay? Emmanuel, God with us. So now he's starting his ministry. Now, first of all, when was Jesus baptized? Well, Luke chapter 3, verse 23 says he's about 30 years of age. Now, I'm just going to say a few things today I think will be helpful to people. Jesus' birth in early years, the only time you hear about him after his early years there as his birth was when he's 12 years old at the temple. After that, then nothing is said. Jesus, at this time in his life, when he was baptized, was the maturity of manhood. There was a time of preparation and patience, and it was in God's time, in his divine sovereignty. I want to tell you one of the greatest secrets you're ever going to get out of life is that a lot of things, most things, God's timeline is not your timeline. God's timeline is never our time. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And he's about 30 years of age. I was 28 when I surrendered to preach. Most of you older men will know this when I say it. You do not generally get specific direction for your life as a man until you're approaching 30 years of age. Most people, it's about 30 years of age when things start weeding out and you get lined out and you're headed down the road of your life and the purpose that God has for your life. I'm glad that God, I look back now, there's a sense I was like, well, I was 18 when God, I felt God's call to preach. But it's 10 years later when I surrendered to it. But I think God, literally in his sovereign providence, kept me from it. And I want to tell you why. I think I would have got messed up, Brother Phil. I think if I'd been younger, I'd have went to Bible college and I got totally messed up forever. As it was, I had kids on the ground, a living to make and bills to pay, and I just started studying the Bible and preaching. Now that might not be for everybody, but I think that was for me. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't care what you say, when you're 20 and 21 and 22 and 23, you don't know nothing. You just think you do. And by the way, when you're 67, you don't know nothing. Amen. Okay. But anyway, for most men, 30 years is the time when they get direction for the work of their life and so forth and get settled down to it. But there's even more than that. The Bible prophesied in the book of Isaiah and the book of Malachi that there would be a forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would come and prepare the way. And it describes it in detail, this forerunner before Christ would come on the scene. And that was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus Christ. And John's mother and Jesus' mother were cousins, according to your Bible. Okay. Now his ministry, thus the fact of it is, Jesus' ministry could not start before the forerunner's ministry was already going. Had he done that, he would have broken the scriptures, and the scriptures would not have been fulfilled. So it had to be exactly like it was. If you want some evidence of the Bible, evidence of Jesus Christ, it's everywhere in the Bible if you'll just study it. And he fulfilled everything you find about Jesus Christ according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures. And his ministry was according to the scriptures. As I said, John the Baptist was 6 months older. His ministry had to begin first, and it had to be aligned with scripture. Jesus was baptized by the person, and at the time, that fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. Now, secondly, this morning, who baptized Jesus Christ? Well, John the Baptist. John the Baptist had been in his ministry for about no more than 12 months, and probably no less than 6 months. John the Baptist, well, Jesus said, not greater born of woman than John the Baptist. And watch this. His ministry didn't last. It lasted 6 months to 12 months. We don't know for sure, but no longer than a year. The man was in ministry 1 year and martyred, had his head cut off for his preaching. And you can understand the kind of preaching he did there. Head cut off. This is the kind of man that Jesus Christ had baptized him. Okay? Herod beheaded him. This man, this John the Baptist, was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And here's what his job was. Now I want you to tie on to me. If you want to know about baptism, why Jesus was baptized, about our baptism, I want you to listen carefully. This man, John the Baptist, came, the Bible says specifically, to prepare the way for the Messiah. All right? That's a biblical fact. What does that mean? It talks about the hills being leveled and the mountains brought down and the rough places being made smooth. And it says that he had his baptism, literally is told over and again, that it was a baptism unto repentance where they confessed their sins. That was the baptism of John the Baptist. It's a different baptism than you and I have today, okay? His baptism was a baptism of repentance, but it is a picture of our baptism today. Now, stay with me. Just hang on. His baptism was a baptism of repentance, confessing their sins. Now, I want to ask everybody here a question. We want to learn about baptism. You went to John the Baptist's baptism. He's down in the water, and you say, John, I want to be baptized. And he looks at you and he says, can you bring me fruit of repentance? Are you willing to confess your sins? Yes. Come on down the water. So he comes down the water. Now I want to ask you a question. So John takes him. He puts his hand up here. John puts his hand on his back. He puts his hand right here. John says, you confess your sins. They confess their sins. And John takes him down the water, baptizes him under the water, and brings him up. Okay? I want to ask you something. What made the effect? The water or what was going on in their heart? Which do you honestly think had the effect? The baptism of repentance that John the Baptist did, was it him dunking him in the water that did it all? Not hardly, and you know that. And any honest heart will say that. It was a picture of the fact that they were willing to repent of their sins, okay, and submit themselves and confess their sins, all right? Did you know John the Baptist baptism really is still here with us? He prepares the way. Now, you listen to me good. How many would agree to me that there's a lot of Christianity as a joke in this country? How many would say there's a lot of false professions? It's everywhere. And let me tell you why. Because they want a Messiah without a forerunner. They want, listen to me, they want salvation without repentance. That's where it's at. But the water was not, it was a symbol of their repentance. It wasn't their repentance. Dunking them in the water did not take, it had to be in here. If you're going to repent, it has to be in here. Okay? So his baptism was a baptism of repentance, and it dealt with the heart. That's going to tell you something about water baptism and salvation. Is it the water or is it your heart? It's in your heart first. The water is afterward. Now, this is the way a man or person is prepared for salvation. What happens? Just be honest with you, here's what happens. You may be here this morning in church, you may be listening online, and you're not saved, okay? But you hear the gospel, and you hear sin preached on you, you need to be born again, that you're transgressed against the law of God, that you have the wrath of God abiding upon you, and you're in trouble with God. You're separated from God by your sin. And the Holy Ghost begins to deal with you. Now, let me tell you where he's going to lead you. He's going to, the goodness of God leadeth me to repentance. And that repentance is godly sorrow, and it has an effect upon people that makes true, genuine converts. In America now, preachers do not want to preach on sin. They don't want to preach on adultery. They don't want to preach on fornication. They don't want to preach on lying. They don't want to preach on cheating people. They don't want to preach on not paying your taxes and lying about your taxes. They don't want to preach about anger. They don't want to. All they want is wealth, health, and prosperity. And you just come throw your money in the bucket and everything's going to be wonderful here. And don't forget, God loves you. Can I tell you this morning, at the throne of God, they are not hollering, love, love, love. They're hollering, holy, holy, holy. Okay? God demands repentance. And John the Baptist, the forerunner, was his baptism. So you know what happens to you? The Holy Spirit still baptizes in repentance people. He breaks you and causes you to break in guilt and finally confess, I am a sinner. The only prayer in the Bible where a man got saved that I know of is recorded when that man went to the temple and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You don't hear anybody say that anymore. God, and I will tell even my grandchildren, if you don't know that you're a sinner, just praying is not it. I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to discredit anything. But if you don't know you're a sinner, what do you need a Savior for? And if you're a sinner, you need a Savior, and you need to have a repentant heart about that, which is a godly sorrow, okay? And you may not, I'm not saying everybody's going to understand all the detailed stuff. I tell you, I believe a child. Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me, or such is the kingdom of heaven. I believe a child can know he's a sinner and know Jesus died for him and say, Lord, please save me, and God has saved him that fast. Okay? But I'm saying this, that it's a baptism of repentance, of confession of sin and guilt. It prepares the way for being baptized by the Spirit into Christ. Well, I don't know. I just seem like here's the deal. They wanted to be baptized without repentance and confession of sin. They just wanted to be in the club. And that's what's wrong with us. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. It's hard to hear preaching on sin anymore in America. Preachers are not, you know what? I mean, did you know, this is my experience. If I preach on Catholicism, if I preach on Jehovah's Witnesses, if I preach on sodomy, if I preach on adultery, I had a preacher in this town jump me years and years ago because I was preaching on adultery. He said, you're the worst thing that ever happened to Norwood, Missouri. He said, all you preach on is adultery and fornication and that kind of stuff and immorality. Well, I said, half of our homes are busting up in divorce. I said, the whole country's shacking up. I said, somebody ain't preaching on it. But why would they say that? It's because they're not preaching in it and they want to have members and people to come to church and have a church and have all the money and have all this and have all that and really look sweet. And they don't really give a dime about your soul. They don't care if you bust hell wide open and go to church every Sunday of your life. Exactly. So you know what they tell me? One of the closest pastor friends I had told me literally to my face. He said, you're not going to get anywhere attacking everybody. I wonder what he would have said to John the Baptist when he called them vipers. Was John the Baptist attacking people? When Jesus called them vipers and serpents, was he attacking them? He's just telling them the flat out truth. You know what the Apostle Paul said? Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Can I tell you something? Your Bible says that except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And it just doesn't say that one, but I'm back in John the Baptist. No, you get Acts 30, you know what it says? And the times of ignorance, God winked at, but now command all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. Repentance is not even your work. Repentance is God the Holy Ghost bringing conviction to your heart and leading you to say, God, I'm a wicked sinner. God, have mercy upon me. God, save me for Jesus' sake. God, I've sinned against you. God, I've been living with that woman who's wicked. God, I stole from some people. I lied. It's wicked. God, I've sinned against heaven. Nobody wants to repent. But take your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and I'll show you what repentance is. But what happens is this preaching without repentance produces false converts. And the Holy Ghost is not going to baptize you without the baptism of repentance. It's scriptural. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I want you to see this. This is powerful. And please believe me, I'm trying to hurry and I want to get out there but I just got to preach what the Lord put on my heart here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 9. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry. Paul's talking about the fact that those people had sorrow about their sin. He said, not that you were sorry, but you were sorrowed to repentance. What's that phrase? Sorrowed to repentance. They had a godly sorrow that led them to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us and nothing. Now watch this. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Did you get that phrase? Repentance to salvation. It works godly sorrow. You are literally sorry before God. Now that doesn't save you. But you're being led. You're going through the baptism of the fire of repentance. You know why some of you are going to bust hell wide open? Because you're too stinking proud to admit your loss to start with. You're just too stinking proud. You're afraid of what everybody would say about you. And it's chains around your soul. And so he says, there's godly sorrow. He said, worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. In other words, you don't ever get sorry for the repentance of salvation. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort. Now here it is. There are 7 biblical evidences of genuine repentance in this verse. Here it is. Number one, it'll produce carefulness in you. I'm going to tell you something right now. A man who has repented is not going to stick his hand back in the fire real quick. A man that knows what pornography will do to him and his family is not going to dive right back in it. You have not repented. A man that repented is going to be careful about where he's going, careful about who he's around, careful what he hears preach, careful about what he's reading, careful about who his friends are. It's going to produce carefulness in you. That's what your Bible said. Okay? Second thing, it says what clearing? This is a good one. It'll clear your conscience. Amen. I want to tell you, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You're forgiven. Amen. You're not guilty anymore. You're forgiven. Your sins have been washed away. That repentance leads to carefulness and it leads to a clearing of yourself. And you're clear before God because of what Jesus did for you and because Jesus' blood was shed and your sins have been paid for. The bill is paid.
Amen.
Clear. No junk. Clear. I'm going to tell you, so the happiest people in this world are the people that are clear.
Right.
Nothing between them and God. Then the next thing, indignation. I love this word. Indignation means anger. And it's a righteous anger toward yourself because of what you did to God and other people in your sin. Indignation. How many of you ever got aggravated at yourself? That, hey, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you don't go to seed with it. But you have an indignation. You know, how stupid can I be? And you're aggravated at yourself. And you're indignant about yourself for being so stupid and for letting yourself get into that sin. That's a repentant heart. If you don't care and it doesn't bother you, you're not saved. You don't have the Holy Spirit of God in you. I'm just being honest with you. This is biblical fruit of repentance unto salvation. Then it says this, what fear? Now, he said, the fourth thing you'll have is a fear of what this sin will do to somebody else. A fear of Almighty God that winds up in love. But it's a fear of what sin does to people and a fear of the damage this does. Let me just tell you something. My sin in my life has hurt my family. My sin has damaged people. My sin has hurt God. And I need a healthy fear in me that I don't want to sin against God. And I want to hurt other people. I mean, let me give you an example. I need enough fear of God. And the Bible said about fear of the Lord, he said that's the beginning of wisdom. I need enough fear of me that I'm not going to run off with some other woman and leave this gal, Dean.
Amen.
Because if I did, I want to ask you, how many of you would that affect? Hey, Sid, what would you do this week if you heard I run off with some other woman? Yeah, I'll tell you what, it would shake your, and it ought to. You'd say, good man living, what's wrong with him?
Yeah.
And it would hurt people all over the country. And the devil would, woo, 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 woo. I got old Reg. Now I'm going to hurt thousands of people. I ought to have a fear about what that would do to God and to her and to everybody here. I ought to have a fear of me about what your kids, what do you think it would do to my grandkids, Glenn? How'd you like to have to explain to your grandkids where grandpa's at? We need a repentance. Godly repentance will bring a fear of that kind of junk to you. I'm telling you right now, sin will cost you. It'll cost you. And I ain't going to go there. But look at the next thing. It says what? Vehement desire. That's a hot desire to do right. Now you're serious about doing right, amen. I'll tell you what, you got some zeal. I mean, you got some desire in you. It's the grace of God. Then the next thing, sixth thing is zeal. Amen. I'll tell you what, I like zeal. I like zeal with knowledge, not without it. And then what? Revenge. Did you know what? I never met a saved man. I never met a saved man, Kenny, who when he got saved, did not want to hurt the devil's kingdom and have revenge on what he was used to be. He used to maybe, you know, support the bar. Now he wants the bar to be closed. There you go. All right. Now, where was Jesus baptized? It's going to be fun. Are you ready? It's going to be fun. Where was Jesus baptized? In the Jordan River. Now watch this. I'm going to show you that God's almighty and God's, the Bible's the word of God. All right. Where was Jesus baptized? He's baptized in the Jordan River, right? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 3 that Jesus went from Nazareth or from Galilee down to Bethabara to be baptized. Now watch this. That means he went from somewhere up in here. He was from Nazareth down to right in here, Bethabara. Geographically, that's 60 to 70 miles depending on how you are walking. But he walked 60 to 70 miles to be baptized. At a specific time, at a specific place. He's pretty serious about it, right? But he was in the Sea of Galilee. Now, you mean in business if you walk 60 miles to get baptized. All right? But here's the big picture. It's not about that much. Jesus could have said, well, I'm going to wait till old John's come up river a while. Now watch this. This is beautiful. I'm going to wait till old John comes up the river 40, 50 miles, and he'll have a baptism service, and I'll go down to it. But he didn't do that. He heard he was baptized at Bethabara, and he took off. The Jordan River is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God knows every way Bryant Creek's a turning. God knows where every piece of gravel is on the banks of and in the waters of Bryant Creek. Jesus said, I'm the water of life. He told that woman, he said, you drink from this, you'll never thirst again. Watch this. The Jordan River starts up here in the mountains from the snows that come down on Mount Hermon up there. It has three primary springs that is the fountainhead of the Jordan River. Do you know what those three primary springs speak of? That Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Those springs go into what's actually called kind of a swampy area. It's kind of a place where the water settles into. That's a picture of his boyhood. Unheard of. Nothing. You never hear nothing in your Bible about this area. Just like when Jesus was born. But then that water dumps into the Sea of Galilee. Some of you may be having a hard time seeing that. I don't want to block anybody out. I'll put it over here kind of like this here. That water dumps into the Sea of Galilee. That was where Jesus' entire ministry was. Around the Sea of Galilee. And by the way, watch this. The Sea of Galilee, if you look at it from the sky, looks like a man's heart. Shaped just like a man's heart. And Jesus Christ loved you and came down from heaven and ministered to you and I. Okay? Now, the water comes out of the Sea of Galilee. That starts what's called the Jordan River. You folks don't count over. I'm sorry about this. Maybe I can get it up here. I don't. Can you see it, Tall? You could. We could. Anyway, here comes Jordan River down. Now, watch this. Back in the book of Joshua, watch this. In the book of Joshua, the children of Israel had come up out of Egypt, come up through here, and 40 years wandering, and now finally, after they all died off, Moses dies up here on Mount Nebo, and Joshua takes the lead, and they're going into Promised Land. How many knows what happened, how they got in the Promised Land there? He told the priest, he said, you take the Ark of the Covenant, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, okay, who perfectly kept the law, the rod that budded, he's the resurrection and life and all that. And they were to walk down into the water, and when they touched the water split. And the Bible calls it cut off. In the Old Testament, it says that the Messiah would be cut off. The Jordan River is a picture of Jesus Christ, and after his ministry was over, they begin to plot his death, and they cut him off. There's a reason that Jesus was baptized. I'll prove this to you. When they crossed over, what was the first city that they went after? Jericho. Jericho is right here where you cross the Jordan River. All right? That's where the waters were cut off. What this is a picture of is Jesus coming down from heaven, fullness of the Godhead bodily, his early life, his ministry, his descent into death, and burial and resurrection. He was cut off. Now watch this. He was cut off. He died. Then he was buried. And the Dead Sea is where that water pours into. And it don't go anywhere else except up. He died and was buried. The water from the Red Sea, from the Dead Sea, goes up. It's a picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It is the shortest, it's one of the shortest rivers. His ministry was short, but it's the most famous river in the world. Jesus Christ is the most famous name in the world. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, watch this, he left you and I the greatest wealth in the entire universe. And that was our salvation of our soul. The Dead Sea today, I've been there three times. They do not know how to evaluate the value of the wealth that's in the Dead Sea. Come down from heaven, his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection. You say, Reggie, what's that got to do with everything we're talking about? Because baptism is a picture of that, And when Jesus went to the Jordan River to be baptized, he was picturing his death, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Okay? So, why? Now, we'll finish out right here. Why did John the Baptist forbid Jesus? I want you to think. Jesus comes up, says, John, I want you to baptize me. John the Baptist down in the water says, no. I have need to be baptized of thee. John said, no. I mean, that's a pretty stout thing to tell Jesus, I ain't going to do what you told me. Why did John say no? Here's why. Watch this. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance and confession of sin, and Jesus Christ had no sin to confess or repent of. John the Baptist was saying, Jesus, my baptism is a baptism of repentance and confession of sin. Now, boy, hang on here. This will make baptism precious to you. He said, Lord, I can't do that. I can give you scriptures. In him was no sin. Who did no sin? Harmless, holy, undefiled. Over and over again, the Bible teaches. In fact, by the way, historically, nobody can prove Jesus ever sinned one time in any way, manner, or fashion. Nobody can prove that in history. He was the sinless Son of God without spot and without blemish. The qualified sacrifice that God the Father, holy God the Father, demanded for the sacrifice of our sin. So for Jesus to go be baptized by John the Baptist, he would be saying, I want a baptism of repentance and confession of sin, but I never sinned. And John's saying, no, I won't baptize you. Jesus said, no. He said, suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. And the Bible said, then John the Baptist baptized him. What went on right there? Why did all of a sudden it flip? And here's why. I'm going to give you this and try to get done. Now I want you to please get this. Why did John the Baptist let Jesus Christ come down and be baptized? And why did Jesus say, fulfill all righteousness in doing this? It wasn't that Jesus wasn't righteous, right? That can't be the answer. Because he was totally, perfectly righteous. So it wasn't about him gaining some kind of righteousness. What this tells you is that you going into baptism waters does not gain your righteousness. Amen. Follow me? Okay. What was he doing? The Bible said this, watch. Whenever in the Old Testament, John the Baptist had just said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. In the Old Testament, when they brought those lambs, the father especially had to take his hands like this and put on the head of the lamb and lean on it before the priest killed the lamb. And what he was doing when he did that was identifying with the lamb. Now, don't miss that. The lamb and the sinner and the substitute had to be identified together. Jesus Christ became man to identify with you and me. And you and I, watch this, were sinners, need to repent and confess our sin. So what did Jesus do? He walked out into the waters as the Lamb of God, identifying and putting himself in our place. He had to do this. John didn't understand it right then. I didn't understand it for years. He had to identify himself. Jesus came down as the Lamb of God, identifying himself as the one who would do what? Take your sin upon him. Does this make sense?
Amen.
What he's trying to tell us through the ordinance of baptism, why he was baptized. So he, first of all, it was to identify, watch this, who his own self bare our sin in his own body. Lonnie, he had to go out where we were as sin and experience, watch this, the death. Wages of sin is what? Death. And Jesus identified with you and I as our Savior, as our Lamb, as our substitute. I'm telling you right now, all of heaven raised its wings when he did that. Because this was the means by which he's going to save the world, by identifying with lost humankind. Then the second thing is this, is that when, watch this, when John took him down, he was telling the world, I'm going to die in your place, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to resurrect from the dead.
Amen.
and I'm going to give you life. That's what he was telling them. Now watch this. When you get saved, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. It's something God does. This is wild. Christ identified with you first. Now you got saved. What does God tell you to do? Go out there in that water and identify with me. And that's why if you won't, now I'm going to give you something. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and of my words, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. That's pretty stout. Jesus said, if you will not confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my Father. That's stout. Christianity demands open confession of faith in Jesus Christ exclusively and alone for your salvation. Nothing else. Not any other religion and not your self-righteousness. It demands that you recognize that he died for you in your place for your sin. And that is what you trust as your Savior. Well, he was symbolizing the literal death, the literal burial, and the literal resurrection, and the literal ascension, and the literal high priest work, and the literal coming again. He was symbolizing all of that, okay? Now, the gospel is this, 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's the gospel, that he died in your place for your sin. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, but the chastisement of our peace upon him. The good news is that you can be forgiven and saved, reconciled to God and redeemed and justified by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to go this morning into about the dove coming down. That's for a later time. We're just looking at the but here's the deal. What was the method now that John baptized him? I'm going to get this. If you're in the Catholic Church and they're a baby, they're going to take that baby and the priest is going to sprinkle some water and pour a little water, do something like that. There's some churches believe in sprinkling, some believe in pouring, okay? But here, watch this carefully. If one of my grandsons comes up to me and says, "Papa, I want to be baptized," and I take water and do this and pour over his head, I want you to think about what I have done. This is powerful now. This is why it's important. I have blown out of the water and distorted the gospel. I cannot portray the gospel by pouring water on a kid's head. There's no death going down. There's no burial under the water. And there's no resurrection coming up out of the water. I just poured water. I can't do it with sprinkling. Now, I'm not going to be mean to anybody. Listen to me. If you've been sprinkled, that's unscriptural. If you've been poured, it's unscriptural. The Bible says when Jesus came up out of the water, it talks about there was much water. They went down into the water. But if you take away the going down speaks of death, Jesus' death, the going under the water speaks of his burial, and the coming up speaks of his resurrection. If you do anything but that, you have destroyed the gospel in its symbolism. Okay? That's why. That's what it's all about. I hope that is helpful to you. I'm not trying to be mean to you or your religion or your denomination or anything like that. I'm saying the Bible. And that's what you're going to face when you face God. Amen? So it's immersion. Now, here's the big one. Can I use your boy for an example? Would you care to come up here, please? Your mama done said you could. Okay, now I want you to watch this. How'd you like to baptize me? You want to do it? Okay, you stand right there. Now I'm going to stand right here. Let's see. Where are you strongest at? Your left hand. Put your left hand behind my back. All right, now I'm going to hold your wrist like this. And what you would normally do, you'd raise your hand up and you'd say, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he pulls his hand down and he starts to put the deal in mind. I said, wait a minute, I'm just going to baptize myself. So here I go. He said, help yourself. And watch this. How many of you could baptize yourself? It's amazing what God did. Did you know that scriptural baptism is being immersed down death, burial under, back up by another? And the picture is the person that baptizes you is a picture of the Holy Spirit doing something, watch this, that you could not do for yourself. You cannot save yourself. The reason you can't, but God ordained and prescribed baptism exactly like it is to show you that salvation is of the Lord. It's by grace through faith. It's by the work and act of another. You can't save yourself. So no more than you can. So here I go. How many knows what's going to happen? I'm going to fall and drown or flounder or do something, right? But it ain't going to turn out to be baptism. And that's what your self-righteousness will turn out to be. You'll fall and flounder, and it will not. And it does not represent baptism because you tried to do it yourself. If you try to save yourself, you're in trouble. You have to have the work of another. So now let's try to see how this goes. You ready? No, don't you drop me. Are you ready?
Do my best.
All right, here we go. You got to put that thing over my nose. That's why I didn't pick you. I wanted somebody to bring me back up, amen. Hey, there's a truth in that. I want a God that can bring me back up. I want a God that can resurrect me. I want a God that's got the power to bring me up from the grave. Amen. I want a God that's powerful enough to take away my sin. Let's stand. Amen. Thank you, brother, for not dropping me when you had the chance. Boy, that was the chance of a lifetime, wasn't it? Folks, I tell you what, I'll say this to you. You get water baptized because you are saved, not to be saved. Christ is the person of salvation. Baptism is the picture of salvation. Stay tight. Christ is the substance of salvation. Baptism is the symbol of salvation. Christ is the reality of salvation. Baptism is the ritual of salvation. But before that salvation, there has to be a forerunner. You have to know you're a sinner and that you're deserving of hell and guilty before Almighty God. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart that leads you to repentance, to where you're ready to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I want to trust Christ as my Savior. And literally what happened when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you just placed yourself totally at His trust. And I tell you what, it's a blessed, blessed. Isn't that a good picture? Now, I'm going to throw something at you I don't understand. Let's have a little fun here. I don't read in the Old Testament about being baptized. John had a baptism of repentance. There's a baptism of the Spirit when you're saved. And John Baptist started this. Maybe somebody else knows. I don't really know. But all I know is that it was put in the church as an ordinance. Okay? And if you've not been baptized, immersed since you've been saved, you need to be. If you got baptized before you were saved, you're still not scripturally baptized. I'm sorry. Now, I just want to make that clear, okay? But again, I'm glad that the thief on the cross was able to go to heaven. Amen. He never did get baptized. He did get baptized. He just didn't do the symbol. Right? Right. Okay, now I'm going to tell the church something this morning. And some of you, I may lose you over this. But if I do, you're in the wrong. I want you to hear me out. I got a call this week from some precious dear folks in this church. And two of their children are going to get baptized. They were saved at Bible camp last year, and they're going to get baptized today. And they have a sister, and her name is Rose. And Rose is back there in the wheelchair.
Oh, Renee.
Did I say Rose?
Yep.
Well, isn't that part of her name? It's not. Why did I call her Rose for? I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't even know who I'm talking about. Renee. Hope. That's it. I knew. I don't know where the rose come from. Anyway, Hope Renee is back there. And her mother asked me about these things. And you had Lutheran background, right? That family had Lutheran background. And she asked me, she said, Reggie, she said, I know that Hope loves Jesus. But she's nonverbal. She can't communicate. She says, is there any way in the world that, and she, and I'll go, Jamie, don't hold it. She said, is there any way of baptizing her? Could you pour some water on her? You know, I'd just like to see her baptized. And I said, Jamie, I can't pour water on her. I'm sorry. But I said, I'll tell you what I can do. You know that girl's heart. I don't. But it doesn't make any difference. First of all, I told her this. that girl is innocent before Almighty God. You cannot tell me that God's not going to take that girl to heaven. He's taking her. Amen. She'll get there faster than the rest of us. I promise you that. Okay. And I said to her, I said, here's what I will do. I said, I'm going to go buy a cattle tank. So how many seen the cattle tank when you're walking in? That's what this is about. And I said, I want her grandpa and some other man to hold her and let her down the water, and I'm going to baptize her. And you may think I shouldn't. I don't care what you think, okay? I just want you to know flat out, I don't want to hear nothing about it. Don't you call me. Don't you say nothing, okay? I'm going to baptize her today. She can't confess, as far as I know, anything, but God knows her heart. I will tell you, I'm pretty sure I baptized some people that weren't saved. Okay? So I don't know their hearts, all right? And if you don't think she should be baptized, then you and the devil go have yourself a nice afternoon. But I'm just telling you, I prayed about it. I'm fine with it. But I know we're going to put this live. It's going to be like, I will catch the flag. Watch this. I will catch the flag. What do you think you're doing, Baptist? You don't know what? Oh, okay. Fine. Help yourself. Well, I tell you what, it has been a blessed week. And Jamie, I want to tell you something. You know, to hear the heart of a mother about this, and I'm going to tell you, I just want to tell you I respect you like you don't know. So, that's what we're going to do. Now, if you're here today and you ain't been saved, did you know you can get saved right where you're sitting? You can get saved walking around in the parking lot out here. You can. If you've never been saved, I would advise you right now to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you what, I want to be saved and I want to trust that Jesus Christ died in my place for my sin. I will not trust how good I am. Let me tell you about this church. We preach the only kind of salvation there is in the Bible. That's called eternal salvation. Watch this. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation. It's eternal. That means it never stops. That's the only kind of salvation that's in this Bible. Any other salvation is not God's salvation. Okay? Not trying to be mean, just being honest with you. That's what we preach. You know something? God will save you and save you forever. He become his child, and when you sin, he'll whoop you. And by the way, if you decide to get saved, life's going to get rough. You're not going to have joy, peace, and sweetness the rest of the trail. It's going to get rough. Rougher than you can imagine. And God's not even going to tell you, so you don't worry about it until you need it. Lord, we thank you for this day and this time that you've given us together. We thank you, Lord, for the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that it shows, Lord, that he identified with us as sinners and came and took our place and stood where we stand and took our death and took our punishment. But, Lord, you raised him up on the third day, and he's alive forevermore. And, God, because he lives, we can live. And we do live. And Lord, I thank you today for these that will be baptized. And I pray now, Lord, that you'll strengthen them, help them. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that maybe there's those listening online, those in this church building today that are not saved, that right now, Lord, right now, they would call upon you and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me, and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection for their sin. And I ask this, Lord, for your sweet glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.